I had never faced real adversity in business, challenges and stuff, but nothing like what I would kind of, the season I would hit in 2022, 2023. About everything I had saved and I had earned in the prior decade went into salvaging the company in those moments. If I don't do that, I broke my word. I came back in as an humbled as an owner and just working and putting my 80 hours a week in, focus on what was real, which was my business, my revenues.
Do you have any sort of philosophy or is there anything that runs through your mind?
I know that at 15 million or 20 million, I can make what I would have made at 100 million. Working smarter and not harder, but it's a little bit of everything.
Welcome everybody to this week's episode of No Suits Allowed. I'm really excited about this episode because I have a seasoned entrepreneur that knows what it's like to go through the struggle and come out on the other side successful with some of the things that are real life as an entrepreneur, like cash flow struggles or people not wanting to make their payments or whatever the case may be, right? This is another roofing specific entrepreneur and someone that is a good friend of mine. We've known each other for I don't know, 6-7 years now, probably something like that.
Something like that.
It's like 2017, I think.
Yeah, about before you were even in roofing.
Correct. And this is actually, I'm glad you mentioned that. This is the guy that piqued my interest. And I have to briefly tell the story.
You can tell the story. You
know, I know I've said it a lot, but piqued my interest into the industry before I was even in it. And then I had somebody, I kind of had my moment where someone came and stayed in my rental house and was starting a roofing company, asked if I wanted to be a business partner. And Chase played a big reason in the reason I said yes, because yeah. I was seeing all of his success at an early age. So, but I'm really excited about this episode. If you love the content, please make sure you like, subscribe, share this out. There's a powerful story that we're about to share of just kind of the real life entrepreneurial life and business leader life and what it's like to get through some very thin times and times that would honestly put a lot of people out of business. And Chase was one of those that was able to weather that storm and has done extremely well for himself. Otherwise, a very successful entrepreneur in this space. But, you know, things happen in business to everybody and some of those things are out of your control. So, but anyway, so I'll introduce Chase a little bit by saying my story and then I'll let him obviously share who he is and a little bit of background. I met Chase, like I said, it was like 2017, I think. And we actually met at a music festival, funny enough, but found out that he was already in his early 30s, maybe even 20 something. I don't even remember what. When you
were. About 30, somewhere 30. In that range, yeah.
Super successful entrepreneur at that time. You know, had all the things. Not that, you know, you've been a flashy guy, but had, you know, had stuff and could tell he was successful and monetarily successful anyway. And so I went to his house one night. We got to becoming really good friends. And I actually stayed with him a handful of times at his house. And it's so funny because I'll never forget, I was eating dinner. He had graciously invited us over, my wife and I, to have, this is before we had kids and all that, but whenever we were just going up to ski at the mountains or going to a show or something like that, he invites me into his home to stay. And I went through his little pass-through office at his house. And I saw this $500,000 check or whatever it was sitting on the
table.
$800,000. It was like $800,000. Yeah. So thank you. It's even better. See, it's even better. And maybe the tail just gets better. I don't know. But no, it was legitimately a full on 6-figure check. And it was made out to his company's name. And I got really interested all of a sudden. And it wasn't being nosy. It was one of those that was like a pass through. I just happened to see it. We had a couple of drinks. You know, we were feeling, you know, feeling good, having steak. And I passed through, and then later on in the evening, I was like, dude, tell me about this roofing thing. And I spilled the beans. I was like, brother, you have like $500,000 check, which $800,000, whatever it is. And I said, you have a check sitting on the table. He's like, yeah, I'll get to depositing that next week or something like that. Very nonchalant. And I was like, okay, if I had an $800,000 check sitting on my desk, that would be getting wired into my bank account immediately. And so he was like, yeah, no big deal. Fast forward in that evening, I got taken down to I don't know if you remember this. We went into either your basement or your garage or something like that. And you're showing me all this roofing stuff and getting me up to speed on some of the things. You remember that?
Yeah. Some of the products.
Some of the products and what he does differently. And this was, again, this is before I was ever in the industry because I came in 2018, late 2018. And he was like, he was like, yeah, man, you know. And so I got to know the business a little bit before I hopped into it. And then I got a business partner and, you know, obviously
we had some talks about that.
He was like, don't do business with this guy, you know. And I was like, no, dude, this is all going to work out. And sure enough, Chase was right that people in this industry can sometimes be a little slimy. Yeah. So Chase Johnson, Johnson Construction here based in Denver. And yeah, brother, I'm glad to have you on.
I'm glad to be on. It's always a good time to see you, Connor. So
I love it, man. Yeah, well, for sure. Share your story a little bit. Give some folks just like a little background of who you are, and then we'll hop into it.
Okay. So, I started roofing back in high school, but I started my company freshman year of college when I moved away. It's nothing like what we knew storming was. It was like, hey, I can get some buddies together. We can do a few roofs in the summer. We can make money, have money for the next school year. Yeah. But, you know, ultimately, as school went on, as that process continued, I caught wind of storming right near my senior year. I was accepted to law school. My parents weren't going to co-sign my loans. And I called up a buddy that was selling, actually, for Marty Haight at the time. And I said, I know you're making big bucks. What are you doing? And I went out, I don't know, worked with him for 6 months and then came back to my company, Johnson Construction, that was sitting there. And within the first year, I was making more money than I kind of had ever thought possible. It's the roofing industry.
Yeah.
And it just grew from there.
Especially in that era. That was a great era.
Oh, yeah. I was shooting fish in a barrel. And especially, especially in the Midwest, right? Yeah. I was in Ohio at that time. And so, you know, with that, it was just scaling. It was constant scaling from about 2010 or 2011 to 2019. It was every year somewhere between 100% and a 300% gain. It was stupid.
Yeah.
And I found myself at the top of the mountain, I'd say sometime close to or after the time we met, had a ton of employees, had revenues through the roof. And I would say that our industry is kind of a gamble, right? You know, where let's just look at Denver this year. Denver in 2023 had a great storm. 2024 had some decent ones. 2025, nothing, right? Cheyenne, you can go work Cheyenne. You can go out and work Grand Junction, but nothing of substance. And, you know, in that time I was gambling that, okay, we didn't have it this year. I'm going to keep all my staff and all my overhead and all my risk at the table and go to the next year. It's like roulette, you know, you're doubling up each time. And I learned a lot in that because Denver didn't get anything in 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022. And I had doubled down everything on the table at that point. And so, you know, I've got a lot I can opine on there.
We're gonna get into that today. But yeah,
I mean, we're back. I fought all the way through it. I'm back to the company I was. And I don't know. I think I ended the last time we talked with that. I can't remember the name of the verse in Romans, but it talks about perseverance. And through perseverance and hardship, you know, we find hope. And through hope, we get there. So
yeah, that's great. So. Before we dive into all the different details and I ask a handful of questions, I know you're newly married and you've,
got six brands out there and five states now. So
there are a lot of
baby on the way.
Baby on the way. There's a whole lot of things going on in your life, right?
Life's moving.
Would you say that your focus right now in the things that like, I mean, is it still primarily Johnson Construction or obviously you've got the family stuff going on now. So there's definitely, you came to that party a little later than a lot of people where they kind of do that early on. And I know you did that intentionally, right? But I mean, so is that still Johnson Construction primarily the focus or is there like for you just kind of getting caught up to speed at least with that stuff? Are you focusing
on? I would say that, so my businesses, depending on which one, have a seasonality of focus. So Johnson Construction was a major focus in regards to the sales and production of work. That's kind of weaned. And now we'll focus on Retrofoam, which is my insulation business. That will peak in January, February. So it's going, hey, is the foundation, is the marketing ready? Is our plan ready to roll? But beyond that, like I'd say in the stage of life, my focus is peace, right? Is going, it's stability in my business. It's my duty to profit for my business and my employees. And through that, then creating the time to be with my family without being stressed. I think that the entrepreneur never stops thinking about, we take it home, right? Yeah. And it's brutal, but it's that change and saying, hey, I got to find a way to not take it home.
Yeah, that's great. So let's get into it. So you're your story is definitely one that it was going, like you said, it was scaling up,
yeah.
100%, 300%, everything.
Oh, yeah.
Felt probably very unstoppable at a period of time in your life.
I had never faced real adversity in business. I'd faced adversity, right? Yeah. Challenges and stuff, but nothing like that. Nothing like what I would the season I would hit in 2022, 2023.
And you scale up, and that's some of the stuff I want to get into and I know this is not a roofing specific podcast, but this is like just talking about how you handled the change and went through those things. So you go through this process all the way up to the era where, you know, it goes dry here, right? And like you said, you kept putting your chips in the middle and putting your chips in the middle and putting your chips in the middle and just thinking like at some point it's going to hit, right?
Yeah, the faith of like, hey, if there is an opportunity, I'll make the money. But there's no way it's not going to go for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
That
because that was unheard of up to that stretch of time.
It really was. And, you know, at the end of the day, you see these success stories. And every time I see these mega success stories, it's because they hit no adversity, that they're... roll up went perfect, like for the 5 years, 7 years in a row.
And some people are at the right place at the right time.
Right place, right time. Like luck is luck. It's okay. But getting into that, let's circle back. What was your question?
Oh, the question saying leading up to that, there wasn't a question. Yeah, it was more so just like, how did it go? And then we hit there. So the question that I'm going to ask is, how did that change your business? You were obviously a residential presence, then you do the commercial thing.
Commercial
so,
heavy
so
there.
So walk that, through
that okay. phase. I was commercial that. Heavy in that phase. Walk through how I got there or
just walk kind through of the process of how, yeah.
Yeah.
What all the little levers that you tried to pull.
I was pulling everything. I was working on the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo claim. I had some big boy claims and I said, okay, we're good. And you know what kind of happened is the storm, the adversity happened in many ways all at the same time. I had a business partner who went to Dubai and got caught with some hashish.
Which is a crazy story.
And ended up in jail for a year.
Yeah.
And that's the person that was running.
In Dubai.
In Dubai, running my Ohio end. So now I have to deal with my east and my west operations myself. And then about 2 months after that, the general manager that I had brought into Colorado from Ohio for my retro home business had decided he was going to go start his own. And he gave me like a three month notice, but that was taking over control of that business.
Sure.
And it wasn't even a month or 2 months after that, I had an employee die on my lot at the office here in Denver.
Yeah.
And so I was facing, I had brought attorneys in right away to cover my ass. I had thought that we had done something wrong. And I openly that there was a slip and fall. It ended up not being that. And it ended up being an employee that had OD'd. That was 6:30 in the morning. That's a whole different, that could be a podcast in its own. But we had attorneys on that. We had a large development up in Fort Collins, just not pay. It was like $500,000.
Yeah.
We had some stuff in with public adjusters that just drug on longer than it should and didn't go the way it should. So there was this big culmination of me flying to Ohio, running my Ohio market, which is way more retail than my Colorado one. And then running my phone business, my insulation business, and then running the Johnson one. So I looked at it, and at that point, I was an overhead beast, man. I was having overhead north of $600,000 a month. Like, that nut is huge.
Sure.
And so we stopped hiring, but I didn't fire. I don't have the strength of firing. You know, there's gifts that we have. That's not my gift. And so I let attrition run its course, but I didn't make the right decisions in saying, like, hey, this overhead is huge. The source is... low, and we've got to do something about it. And I doubled down into the fact that I'd worked so hard training these people and getting the opportunity to play at the Super Bowl in a sense that I was going to keep showing up, hoping this that we got that opportunity. Yeah. And through it, the thing, I was lucky that I had large commercial claims that trailed on for years that created sources of revenue that were not from the immediate moment of the storms we weren't getting. But I would say that was in 2019 as I realized we were kind of like there was going to be an issue. 2020, attrition. I moved all my businesses into one building. And by 2021, I was looking at an accounts receivable that didn't match my accounts payable.
Sure.
And that's when you start
to talk about that volume.
That volume.
Because some people
happens fast.
Like, it's like, you know, not that this is any lesser, everything's relative to a degree,
yes.
but But there is something you said when those things get out of proportion, when we're talking millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
It's a very heavy stress and burden to take on, especially when you're not putting 600 grand in your pocket every month. You're paying 600 grand a month out in overhead and making sure those things are keeping, you know.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I mean, you do you're not, you know.
About everything I had saved and I had earned in the prior decade went into salvaging the company in those moments. But I felt one of the hard things is I grew up with my word is my bond, right? The principle in that. And that even means for like, if I signed an agreement, even if I didn't sign as a personal guarantor with SRS or Beacon or ABC to pay that bill. And to like to me, that matters more than just the number. It's like, hey, if I don't do that, I broke my word.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of moral challenges in this of going, wow, I'm a million to what could have been at the point, I'd have to go back through it, 2 million negative, and going, how do I get out of this? And at that point, you know, I buckled up, man. I was like, I got to sell.
I remind you, million and 2 million negative with the market going in the opposite direction. It wasn't like the market was going in the right direction.
No, it wasn't.
So you're like doubling your, it's a double down, it's a, what do you call it, double jeopardy. it's like a big problem.
You know, I don't think a lot of contractors, and just because I'm in the contractor space, realize their duties to trust and their fiduciary duties when they receive a payment from a customer. And I didn't. I would say I'm a highly intelligent person. I did not spend my time understanding the criminal factor of running a construction company that went negative. Mm-hmm. And when I looked at that and I said, dude, I'm a good person and I'm looking at the fact that somehow I broke the law in a way that they'll put me in jail for. And
you're like, I must make a way
out of this. I must make a way out of this and I can't just dip out. Yeah. And I need to be accountable to the decisions I made in the first place. Yeah. But the way out for me was consistency. I came back in as humbled as an owner and just working and putting my 80 hours a week in instead of doing the things that weren't bringing money to my business, all the conferences, that kind of stuff. I mean, I fell off the face of the roofing,
whatever.
Like I went from speaking at RoofCon to not being seen, right? Yep. And because I had to focus on what was real, which was my business, my revenues.
Well,
and it was a slow game. We went through MCAs, you know, the merchant cash advances.
Yeah. And I want to, and not, we don't have to
go, no, those
but
are,
like when you're talking hard money, all of the aggressive payment
plans, I mean,
that's the slippery slope. And that's what I was going to say, like 100%. Huge testament to you to get out of that, because that's where most guys, it's like the beginning of the end.
There was no real other way out when I looked at it. Cause I took time and I said, you know what? There's no other way. Yeah. If I do this, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out. Like at least ABC won't be owed money, you know? but ultimately, you know, I was blessed through that in the sense that I made enough to get us by. I would say that I really took the helm of a lot of our sales. My team did too. They jumped in and we, you know, now I just did my financial meeting last week. My overhead on the Johnson side and the Johnson brands is now down to $120,000 a month.
That's awesome.
But
we're
within now, this year was slow. There's no hail again this year, but I'm cool with it. It's like, I've got it figured out. And with that being said, I forgot where I was going. Yeah.
I mean, no, it's good. It's more of a, I guess from the lever, let's pick up on that. So the levers you're pulling, obviously you have to figure out how to, you know, nix overhead. You're trying to take on more of the burden of the sales. You're trying to get people to maybe, you know, be more aggressive with your payment schedules or what. I mean, was there any particular thing that you were doing outside of just the hustle?
I think as owners, it's so easy to forget how powerful we are out in the field, going back to basics, going back to, I'm not a door knocker. I hate it with every bone in my body, but going out there and going, you know what? I know if I go into this neighborhood that was kind of hit that I can pull out $800,000 in a week's work.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was a lot of that. It was a lot of nose to the grindstone and putting the pride away of saying like, hey, I went from running a $30 million a year business to now being out in the field doing what some would consider the lowest end of the job. And I know, I just pure grit, man.
Yeah, that's good. And I think it speaks a lot to the determination and just being able to make it through that, where like a lot of guys and some that I've put you in contact with that have similar stories, that they just weren't willing to do that, or they aren't willing to go out there and like really dig their heels in and like go do the thing that makes them most uncomfortable.
You see the pride. By the time they ask, it's almost too late, right? And there's not a lot of guys that will sit on a pulpit and talk about the hell I went through, right? Like, there's not. So I didn't know who to go to. I know that I spent time talking with Paul Reed, and that Northwest was, they weren't as bad as me, but they were kind of focusing on it. And it was, but there wasn't a lot of people to go to, because nobody talks about what we're talking about today. They talk about the good times and being untouchable.
Yep. And there's definitely moments like that. So the next question, right, of like the seasonality of your life, and obviously things have come back, but like, you know, in that time frame, if you had to give anybody some tips or, you know, but kind of like what your mindset was, other than like it's pure grit, it's like all, and I know it was maybe a little easier for you because you didn't have the family element at the time, things like that. But like, what was your mindset?
My mindset.
And how did you get through that, just from a stress level and all that stuff?
I had a little plaque in my office that either said 90 or 80% of success is showing up, right? It's like going like, hey, if you just show up and you keep coming to it. And that's where I see a lot of the failure is guys give up too early. And it's going, you could have fought through this. You just weren't going to have a fun time doing it. Yeah. But mine was, this too shall pass. Yeah. Meaning what we're in is going to pass. That, you know, the Lord won't give me more than he can handle. You know, I think a lot of us say than I can handle, but it's more than he can handle. And, but matching that with effort, right? With going, I know this works. And just effort is saying that it wasn't a positive time in life, but just showing up.
I
know that's kind of crazy, but I mean, we build our businesses from one person, and we can build them again from one person. A lot of people don't think about that. Is going, hey, $1 million in sales in 2010 is now 2.5 million in sales today. It's the same amount of work. It's actually less work with the AI we have. And I think owners forget that one owner can go out and pull five million in the claims, 100%. can pull that 40% margin, 50% margin, make their company 2.5 million. And flip the script pretty quick. But I just think that being humbled and coming back to that position is where that was
that's
at.
That's the starting
point. Yeah, that's the starting point.
Yeah.
But it was just going like, this will pass. Like, just fight, keep showing up, keep talking to people you owe money to. Don't hide, I call it ostriching. Don't put your head in the sand. And I, even in dealing with like SRS and Beacon Under Debts, it was astonishing to see how often they said, Chase, so few people will talk to us when they're here. Yeah. Like, we'll work a plan, but everybody hides.
Being forthright and getting
forthright. Yeah, owning where you're at. Just own where you're at.
Yeah.
Like,
that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Let's talk challenges now in going forward in your business. Obviously, you've right-sized it. You've done these things to help your situation become more of a, hey, I can weather a few of these. Like, if we have this year, it's not going to completely, you know, topple my business or be the type of situation we were in previously. So challenges moving forward, or other things that are taking your focus, I guess, like what are, as an entrepreneur and as someone that's obviously like, again, very well seasoned in this, been in the golden era, now coming on the back end of like finding a new era where a lot of people are, you know, there's just a lot of people going out of business. There's a lot of things happening, right? So like, but I'm saying like for you, what's your number one goal or your, or maybe continued mindset of where you are right now and like the challenges that might present themselves that you're looking to overcome?
I think that the different part is I make money on the claim, like on the whole process. Like I own the window installers now. I own the sub companies. So what used to be something, you look at the company I own, right? Me that owns all these companies, where I would have a hail claim come through and the sales rep would get paid. And by the end of the day, we're at like 17%. 14%, and then obviously overhead, those kind of things. But now I look at a claim because that salesman's still making the same, but we own all the other parts. We're back up to like 30% and so I don't need the numbers I used to need. And I'm already on the site with my people and I have these other sales. Like, let me go back actually. Say we have a $15 million year. In that $15 million in the Denver Metro, I'm gonna see at least 4 million windows. Those windows are gonna run at 50% profit. And so just in there was $2 million we were letting up. We were giving away to another company. So I own my solar sub. I own all my subs in my process, except for the roofing sub now. But that's, and with that, we're moving into on our window side, serving the industry, being the Levi Strauss versus the guy that's sitting there trying to get the claims, direct from the consumer, I'm now going to my friends in roofing and saying like, hey, I know if it was anything like what I went through, you have a nightmare with windows. Yeah. Let us handle them.
Yeah.
And so that's where my focus is. But I would still say, I'm going to get back to my focus is peace. It's going, how do I make this business run in a way
make sense for your lifestyle and the things that you're trying to do for your people.
I want to cut stress at all costs. Yeah. Meaning I will cut stress at the cost of revenue, not for more overhead, but
sure.
at the cost of going.
Yeah.
Like
I'll sacrifice some profits to have peace, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think I was very set on the fact that I wasn't going to have kids until my mid 30s. And I'm right here I am. I've got my first one on the way at 38. But with that, like that's what the phase of this life was meant for me, was to go, hey, I want to work 40 hours a week max, not be stressed about it and make a good, healthy income from that. And I'm there, like, right? And we have storms, like we have no storms this year. And I'm looking at it and going, well, cool. I balanced out my business with these other businesses and they're going to pull me through it now. So I've got other sources that I didn't have in the past.
So, and as we kind of come to the tail end of the conversation, I think that's a good point is like, obviously, it's important to be aggressive and diverse. Yeah. It's important to be aggressive, but it's also important to diversify when you get to a certain point. I know we've talked about these things before previously, like how do you do it all? Obviously, it's hard to like manage so many things at once. You got to have good partners. You got to have good, you know, whatever, all that stuff.
You got to have a good team.
You have to have a good team. But for you, like obviously going down this path and kind of where things are headed, obviously it's leading you in the direction of like, hey, it's peace over profit or it's the people over profit. And like, I'm trying to really focus on, you know, making something that's good for me. Do you have any sort of philosophy or is there anything that runs through your mind where you're like, you know, $100 million or whatever, you know, the big numbers everybody goes and chases or says they want, that's their goal and that's what they're trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. But is there something that keeps you reminded other than like, hey, you obviously got a kid on the way, things like that, like that keeps you grounded to say like, okay, I'm going to keep this much money in the bank. I'm going to make sure that we don't find ourselves in the same position. Like, are there things that you've done that have kind of kept some of those safety nets, I guess, that have kept you to where you're like, this is a comfortable spot for me to be, and this is where I'll never go again. Some of those things that you're not getting, that you would never give yourself permission to do again now that you're on the flip.
When you're young, you're full of that ambition and that risk. And I would say that becoming more risk adverse, if you asked me about being risk adverse in my 20s, I would have said, oh, that's not going to get you anywhere. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. I am much more risk adverse now, looking at something going, hey, what's the risk? What does this look like out there? I look at my numbers and my WIP in a whole different way now, where it's going, hey, what is my run dry point? We will never get within this many months of our run dry point based on sales and those revenues in. But it's more of just going
rather than saying like, oh, this is going to be such a great month. I could put more on it or do more overhead because maybe I could double down.
You see people like, and I like Steve, but Steve Soleil with CMR, right?
Yeah.
That is going through and he's still fighting out of it. Amazing.
I don't know if he's actually, is he?
Yeah. He's still involved in that fight. I don't know how he has that energy, but nonetheless, you look at the fact that you had a company get to like 180 million and there was the mass amount of negative is, it's not in the revenues, it's in the process. And I'm not fighting to be a $100 million company anymore.
Yeah.
I know that at 15 million or 20 million, I can make what I would have made at 100 million.
Yeah.
And so it's, I guess, working smarter and not harder, but it's a little bit of everything. I'm just more risk adverse, man. I just look at it and realize, I don't want to go to prison. I'm too pretty for prison. Right? Like, I don't think these guys understand in our industry what they're playing with, the fire they're playing with.
Yeah, I give you, and it can be a very slippery slope. Oh, there are things, I actually said this to somebody the other day, and you will agree with this. There are so many roofers out of business that don't even know it right now.
Oh, dude, there are so many people like.
And probably even in other verticals and other industries too, especially trades in general. But I'm just saying, like, would you agree with that statement?
100%. And it doesn't take long. Like I was losing $400,000 a month at my peak, like loss rate, which is like 4 months, $1.6 million. So it doesn't take a lot to get there, but
$4,800 a year. That's a long time. That's a lot of coin.
I think a lot of it is also like the marketing and the stuff. Like I go onto Facebook and all I see is roofing. Like you got hail damages going, why are you guys burning that money in a season where they don't have the work? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot that I think will
change over the next however long.
But it is unfortunate. Is like that.
It's unfortunate that those people, and that's part of like this conference is going on, trying to help people get more in tune with like what's going on in their numbers and all that stuff. Because there's a lot of them running and they just don't know. That they're flat broke because the money is always just changing.
I don't think they understand the risk they're playing with either. Yeah. You don't look down the barrel of that gun until you realize that, like, And I think that there's a lot of naivety.
Naiveness? Maybe? I don't know.
To it,
I'm not an English major, so
I always say
naivety. Like, I don't know. Yeah, that's maybe a word.
It's interesting to go like, hey, let's see what happens. Like, everybody can have a good time until they face adversity. And a lot of, like, that's the testing point for a lot of these businesses. And I think our industry itself is just, I mean, it's going to face a lot more adversity, but it is nothing like it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Yeah. So.
Well, I appreciate you, brother.
Thanks always, for being man. On, it's always good to see you.
Yeah. And obviously a good friend and someone that I have a lot of, I know we've always, there's definitely been more me learning from you than you learning from me, but I know that there's you know, things that we've bounced off one another.
It's been interesting to watch your path.
My path is, I don't recommend it. I'm just kidding.
You know what? I don't recommend mine either.
Yeah, it's okay.
I've got a salesman with me from the start. I was just going to say this. And I look at what he's been paid and his absence of stress and that he gets kind of the peak jobs that come through. And I was like, man, I wish I would have just stayed a salesman. But
You never know until you know.
I wouldn't be who I am today.
But, and you're, the amount of impact you've made on people's lives, you wouldn't make that as a sales rep. I mean, I think that's also another big thing, is a big takeaway, is like, you're a guy that like really cares about people, really cares about, you know, there's people who have lived with you, you've put a roof over their head. I mean, there's a lot of things we don't have time to go down the path for, but you're just a good dude. And I mean, if you don't have the desire to help people, then, you know, it kind of shows your true colors, and you're just not that guy. You're the guy that's always wanting to try to help people, give people opportunities, bring them in your house, you know, give them an opportunity to live rent-free until they get on their feet or whatever the case is. There's been plenty of those situations. Yeah. So
the old home for the lost boys.
Home for the lost boys. Back in the day, at least.
Yeah, still, sure
is it still going on like that?
Yes, it is.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, we won't go into that. Not a bad thing, but no, Chase is a good dude, man. So appreciate you being on, brother.
I appreciate it, man.
All right. So make sure that you like, subscribe, check out the other episodes of No Suits Allowed. This is a great story. I hope you share this out with somebody that you feel like could use it. Someone that's going up against a lot of adversity and has an uphill climb, and someone that can be a good, relatable story. And you could reach out to Chase. I'm sure you can find him on social media or whatever else.
Find me and ask.
Find him and ask, because he's been through all the mental hurdles, all the money hurdles, all the things. So a great resource if you're going through a situation like that. So, but be sure to check out our other episodes. Again, like and subscribe. Thanks again for this week's episode of No Suits Allowed to Mr. Chase. And we'll see you on the next episode. Thanks.